Bristol Roads, where salt water meets fresh in the Bristol Channel, the slaving ship Daisy paid off the pilot who had guided her down the treacherously narrow Avon Gorge and cast off the barges which had towed her safely out to sea. She put on sail as the sun rose and a light wind got up, blowing from the west. Captain Lyle drew his charts towards him and set his course for the Guinea coast of Africa. The cabin boy had laid out a clean shirt for him and poured water for him to wash. He poured it back into the jug, holding the china ewer carefully in grubby, calloused hands. It would be 2 months at least before they made landfall in Africa, and Captain Lyle was not a man to waste clean water. Call and Sons, Redcliffe Dock, Bristol. Monday the 15th of September, 1787. Dear Miss Scott, I write to you direct on a delicate matter which perhaps should best be addressed to his lordship. However, since I've not yet his lordship's acquaintance, and since you indicated to me that you have to make your own way in the world, perhaps I may be forgiven for my presumption. I was delighted to meet you at my warehouse when you applied for the post of governess, but your family connections and own demeanour convinced me that I could never think of you as an employee of mine. It was that realisation which prompted me to draw the interview to a close. I had an idea then, which I now communicate to you, namely, that I wish that I might think of you as a wife. Some might say that as a Bristol merchant I am overly ambitious in wishing to align myself with your family, but you say yourself that your circumstances do not permit the luxury of choice. And though I am in business, in trade, as I dare say his lordship might say, it is a respectable trade, with good prospects. You will be concerned as to the house you would occupy as my wife. You saw only my warehouse apartment, and I assure you that I am moving shortly with my sister, who will remain living with me, to a commodious and elegant house in the best part of town, namely Queen Square, which his lordship may know. As to settlements and dowry, these certainly should be arranged between his lordship and myself. But may I assure you that you will find me generous if you are kind enough to look on my proposal with favour. I am sensible of the honour you would do me, madam, and conscious of the advantage your connection would bring me. But may I also hope that this proposal of mine will preserve you from a lifetime of employment, to which your delicate talents and aristocratic connections must render you unfit? I remain your most obedient servant, Josiah Cole. Josiah sprinkled sand on the letter with a steady hand and blew it gently away. He rose from his chair and went to the high window and looked down. Below him were the wharves and dark water of the Redcliffe Dock. The tide was in and the ships were bobbing comfortably at the dockside. A steady patter of sound came from their rigging, rattling in the light freezing wind. There was a heap of litter and discarded bales on the Cole's empty wharf, and mooring ropes were still coiled on the cobbles. Josiah had seen his ship Daisy set sail on the dawn tide. She should be at sea by now, with his hopes riding on her voyage. There was nothing that he could do but wait. Wait for news of Daisy, and wait for the arrival of his second ship, the Lily, labouring slowly through the seas from the West Indies, heavy with a cargo of sugar and rum. His third ship, the Rose, should be loading off Africa. Josiah was not by nature a patient man, but the job of a merchant in the trade, with only 3 little ships to his name, had taught him steadiness of purpose and endless patience. Each voyage took more than a year, and once a ship had sailed from his dock, he might hear nothing from her until she returned. He could do nothing to speed her, nothing to enrich himself. Having provisioned and ordered Daisy and watched her set sail, there was nothing to do but wait, gazing down at the rubbish slopping on the greasy water of the port. The distinctive smell of his ships, fearful sweat and sickness, overlaid with heady alcohol and sugar.